Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
Over the summer, we are tackling two different topics. We are tackling some of our basic Christian beliefs, our doctrines. Is the word we use for that. There's just the things that we believe, the standards of what we teach, and why we believe them. And we're also doing something called apologetics. And it's not an apology for what we believe, but it's the reasons we believe it. And why, outside of just the biblical text, why can we believe these things in a world that denies them? And so we've talked about different things like who Jesus is, and we talked about the reliability of the Bible, and I preached on that a couple weeks ago, and it went on and on and on and on. And we tackled a bunch of different reasons why we can trust the Bible, and we've talked about sin, and we've talked about all kinds of different things. Well, today there is an essential question that I want to tackle. That is kind of foundational. It's not kind of foundational. It absolutely is foundational to what we teach and what we believe and why we live the life that we live. And that is the question of, did Jesus really die by crucifixion 2,000 years ago? And did he actually physically rise from the dead? How many of you would say that's a pretty foundational belief or question for what we're talking about? Yeah. So, obviously, we've already talked about the Bible, and we say, okay, based on a number of different reasons, we can believe what the Bible says. Great. But is there anything outside of the Bible that points to what the Bible says being accurate? Are there good reasons to believe that Jesus existed, that Jesus died, and that he actually rose from the dead? How many of you know somebody that rose from the dead and has never died since? Right? Like, that's not a very common experience for us. It's actually quite the opposite. And so for us to say, you know what, we believe that Jesus died by crucifixion, he was tortured by the Romans, hung on the cross until he died from that process, and then on the third day he rose again back to life, like that's a pretty big claim. So why is it that we believe it? Outside of what the Bible says and what the Bible shows us, what would make us believe that this is possible and that this is a real thing? Well, how I want to tackle this is I've got some slides and breakdown of the questions and answers. And the first question is, did Jesus even exist? That's the foundational question. Did he even exist? Yes. This is not something that is widely debated anymore. This is something that Christian and non-Christian scholars easily admit that he did exist. You have so many sources, ancient sources, that claim that he existed very early on in history. We have the writer Origen, Plinth, Josephus, Tacitus. Josephus was a Jewish historian. Tacitus was a Roman historian, and you've got a number of other people very early on, 140 years AD, 112, 93, like very early in the historical scheme of things, these people are writing and recording, and some of them were actually quoting sources from earlier. You know how you would say, like, well, I know, so like I'm saying Origen wrote, well, Origen may have written, well, this guy that lived 40 years before me had this account of Jesus, and I'm quoting him. And so we have some sources like that going on. And so all the historical evidence and archaeology that we have points to, yes, Jesus existed. You will not, if anyone ever tries to tell you that he didn't exist, they haven't bothered doing any kind of research. That is just a bold-faced lie. That is not somebody that is well-educated. That is somebody that is uneducated for them to say that. That is just across the board, acknowledge Jesus did exist. Okay, what's the next question? The next question is, was it Jesus on the cross? We believe that he existed, and we believe that he was crucified, it's noted that Jesus was crucified, but do we know it was actually Jesus who was crucified? What if it was somebody else in Jesus' place? Well, there are a number of issues with that. Number one, if it wasn't Jesus, we wouldn't have had any reason to follow him. It was a public torture and execution scene. Everybody, the whole crowd was there watching him be tortured and watching him be killed. The Jews were highly invested in getting rid of Jesus and not just a lookalike. The Romans made a practice. They were professional murderers. They were professional soldiers. They were professionals at the crucifixion thing. So much so that there are some accounts of how these Roman soldiers, if they lost the person they were supposed to be killing or taken care of in prison, they would take their place. And so they were highly motivated. And so it's very, very, very unlikely that the Romans and the Jews would just have accidentally killed the wrong guy. That's just not something they did. The other big problem with that is, if Jesus wasn't the one crucified, that would make him the greatest con man and psychopath of history. Can you imagine a man going around teaching everybody about God, and then all of a sudden he goes, oh, I'm going to let Bob over there die. And then I'm going to pretend that Bob was me, and when he gets buried, I'm going to steal his body, throw it in a pit over there, come back, talk to everybody, and pretend that it was me who rose from the dead, and then I'm going to run away so that they don't see me anymore, and when they get murdered and killed because they believe in me, I'm just going to go off and live on my own. Like, maybe, but that would make him probably the greatest liar and con man and just totally messed up. That would be the other possibility, and we have no evidence of that. He would have to have been such a great con man that he left absolutely no evidence of that. So, I think it's pretty safe to say that, yes, it was Jesus on the cross. Okay, Jesus existed. It was him on the cross. The next question then is, could Jesus have just survived the crucifixion? Again, the Romans were professionals at this. They understood death. They knew how to kill people. They were so invested in this that when Jesus was on the cross and he appeared to be dead, they took a spear and they stabbed him just to make sure. And so it's just this idea that he would have survived is just so bonkers. If he had survived crucifixion and then shown up to his disciples, he would have been half dead. That would not have made anyone really confident in him. Plus, he would have died just a little bit later. But there's this other thing where when he was stabbed with the spear, water and blood came out of his side. Now, the New Testament writers make note of that, and the New Testament writers wouldn't have even really understood the significance of that. But in modern day science, what that tells us is that when somebody dies, the blood and the water that's in the bloodstream, it begins to separate. And that's where that comes from. Now, they wouldn't have understood that process. They wouldn't have understood what was going on. They just observed that blood and water came out of his side. But for us, with modern science, we understand that that is actually a pretty significant piece of evidence that he, in fact, died on the cross. Okay, so he existed, he was on the cross, he died on the cross. Question number four is, but did the disciples just make it all up? Did the disciples just lie about Jesus and the cross and him rising from the dead? What if he was on the cross and he died, but he didn't actually rise from the dead? That was something the disciples decided they would start telling people in order to not feel ashamed or feel like frauds the entire time. Well, there's some major, major problems with that. Number one, if it was just a lie, then the body would still be in the possession of the Jews. And all they would have had to have done is been like, hey guys, here's his dead body. And everyone would have gone, oh, he hasn't been risen from the dead because there's his corpse. Well, they didn't do that. There's no record of that ever happening. So that doesn't seem to be an option. Maybe they actually went in and stole the body. Well, that is, again, very difficult because you had the Romans guarding them. And the Romans take the place of whatever they lose. And so they were, again, highly motivated. They were soldiers. These were a bunch of kind of idiot fishermen. The idea of them taking on the soldiers, not likely. And then we have the fact that there were multiple witnesses. One account has 500 people seeing Jesus at one time after he rose from the dead. You have the writings, and the writing styles of the accounts in the Bible that we have are not written in a way that is propaganda. For example, if I were to tell you about how I was an incredible football player, okay? And I stand up here and I want to convince you that I am an incredible football player. And I get up here and I'm talking about how many baskets I've made and that Michael Jordan had no way of beating me. And when I was off at the mini putt, like, I beat everybody that was there. What's the problem with what I'm saying? Wrong sports, the information's not right. Like, it's set up, not, it doesn't convince you of it because it has nothing to do with football, right? Like, me standing up here and being like, Wayne Gretzky admits that I am the best. Like, who cares what Wayne Gretzky says about football? It would be poor propaganda. Well, in ancient times, these writers talk about how they didn't believe Jesus, they didn't understand Jesus, they doubted that he was going to rise from the dead, and they doubted that he had risen from the dead, and get this, it was a bunch of women who saw him first. Today we find that ridiculous. In ancient times, you wanted to convince somebody of something? You did not say that it was a woman who had the authority to speak and declare that that was a thing. You go and you'd be like, oh yeah, that car accident happened. My wife saw it. Everyone's going to go, uh-huh, your wife saw it. No one believes it. Now again, today that seems ridiculous, but in ancient days, if you're trying to convince somebody of something, you leave that stuff out. The only reason they would put that in there is if they really believed it and that was the honest-to-goodness account that they believed. And then, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, and the disciples knew that he didn't rise from the dead, and so couldn't raise them from the dead, they would have no reason to lie about Jesus rising from the dead, getting killed, knowing that they couldn't be risen from the dead for dying, for believing that he was risen from the dead. If they knew that he was a false teacher and didn't rise from the dead, why would you die for that? Why would you die for something that you knew to be a lie, especially one that was going to lead to you and your family being tortured and killed, and you wouldn't get a great afterlife? Because if he didn't rise from the dead, you're not going to rise from the dead. There is no motivation why the disciples would lie about this and continue to lie about it, and all of them continued to lie about it until they were all killed. People do not die for a lie they know to be a lie with no benefit. Okay. So I'm going to say the disciples were completely convinced that it wasn't a lie. They were completely convinced. But the next question is, it might not have been a lie, but were the disciples confused? Did they just think that he rose from the dead, but he didn't? Well, their commitment shows that they were convinced that Jesus rose from the dead. It wasn't just the disciples who saw him. There were many other people who saw Jesus. There is no body produced, and there is no evidence showing that Jesus was a con man and psychopath. We have the opposite evidence. And so probably the only other option there is maybe there was a mass hallucination. Maybe they got into some nasty mushrooms. Like somebody was passing out some LSD that day. And all the disciples were really sad, and so they were smoking something, and somebody came over, and they were like, "Oh, look, it's Jesus, man!" And they all thought that they saw Jesus, but it was really just a hallucination. Well, there's two or three things wrong with that idea. One is, drugs wear off, and after they wear off, like, your perspective changes, for one. Number two, it was more than just the disciples that saw him. And three, okay, get this. Mass hallucinations aren't a thing, because they're in your brain. The only way you have a quote-unquote mass hallucination is if everybody is on drugs and somebody steps into the situation to manipulate everyone. Which takes... So unless Jesus really was the manipulator and convinced everybody of this, and they were on drugs for an extended period of time, there's no hallucination. You can't just take a drug and everybody in the room have the same dream. It's not how it works. It doesn't work. Your minds are separate. They do not all imagine the same thing. Okay. So they weren't confused. They didn't lie about it. The next question then is, but could it maybe have just been a myth that was added years later? Like the disciples, they're dead, they're gone, and Christianity, these people who are believing something, they just come up with this idea, and you know what? You know what? This religion would be so much stronger if we had the story of a guy who rose from the dead. Maybe it's just something that was written about later on and added. All the evidence we have shows that the resurrection was foundational from the very start of the movement, that we have these different accounts and different stories of Jesus and the resurrection. If you read the Gospels in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll see that there are slight variations in each one of their stories, which doesn't actually point out an error. It points to the validity of an honest account. It, again, points against the idea of propaganda, because propaganda usually has the same phrases, the same details over and over and over again repeated. And we have these very early texts, again, Clement, Ignatius, Polycarp, Paul, all writing about Jesus and the crucifixion and the resurrection very, very early on. So much so that actually when you look at your New Testament, what are the first books of the New Testament? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We call them the Gospels. They are the good news about Jesus. They were not the first things written. From what we can best tell, actually the letters of Paul were written before those Gospels. And so we have these letters from Paul talking about the crucifixion before we even have the Gospels accounts written down, which shows us that it was foundational to the church from very early on and was not something later added. Okay? So that gives us the next question. Could this have just been the result of popularity, political pressure? It was just a really good idea that we wanted to spread. Maybe Paul was just like, you know what? I just want this thing, and it's just going to grow and become a thing. It's going to change the world. No evidence, no reason behind it. It was just something, a political motivation. Well, the reality is that Christianity was not popular. It was not an established religion. It was culturally unpopular and spoke against. And if it was just a political statement, and there were no miraculous events accompanied by it, there'd be no reason for us to believe it. And no reason for us people throughout history to continue to believe in it. And the evidence actually says that you are all here because you have personally experienced some kind of interaction with Jesus, or you know somebody who has had some kind of personal interaction with the risen Jesus, and that has brought you here because of their experience. See, we can look at the history, we can look at scholarly stuff, we can look at the reasons and the arguments for it, and all the evidence from my perspective, from what I have read and studied and looked at, shows me that yes, it is a possibility that this is all made up, but probability does not lean that way. The probability and all the evidence and all the information that we have points to Jesus, in fact, living, dying, and rising from the dead. And beyond even just all of that, there is a simple fact that I believe that I have personally interacted with the living Jesus. And in this room, many of you or the people around you will attest that when you have opened yourself up to the living Jesus, you have heard him, he has changed your life, and he has done miraculous things. Amen. That doesn't sound like a dead guy to me. Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans, and you find this in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, he says, "And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you." This is so foundational, because if Jesus really did rise from the dead, he can raise you too. Not if. Jesus really did rise from the dead, and he can raise you too. But if you want to go where he went, then you have to follow him there. Do not expect to get the results of the life of Jesus by doing something opposed to Jesus. You get the life and the resurrection of Jesus by following him, by submitting to him, by giving your life over to him, to accepting him into your life, giving him control of his life, and letting him determine the direction and the path of your life. You want to go where he has gone, then you need to follow him there. If you're here and you have been doubting whether or not this religion thing, this Jesus thing is reality, if there's a reason behind it, if it makes any sense, and I believe that I have given you compelling evidence to believe that Jesus really did rise from the dead. If you are here and you have been asked about it, and you have been attacked about it, and people have said nasty things or made these wild, unfounded claims about the resurrection and this belief about Jesus, I believe that I have given you compelling evidence to give answers to those people. And if you are here and you're thinking, man, I don't know if this Jesus thing is, maybe that's true, but I don't really need it, then I think I've laid out for you, again, good reasons why he is necessary. That he is the one who died and rose from the dead and has not died again. Jesus really did rise from the dead. And he can raise you too.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.